As I was standing at the back, I was thinking, what an honor it is to speak to you today. What an honor it is to serve you along with a wonderful band. Isn't this a great band? By the way, Carol Yelinek said that at the end of the first service, there were thousands of dollars in the Super Bowl of carrying buckets. Maybe thousands? Tens of thousands of dollars. So we've got a long way to go before we compare to the first service. Please allow me to add my welcome to those of you who are with us today, whether on site or online. We are glad you have made a good choice by being here today. 89 Days with Jesus is our Bible time plan for Christmas through Easter. Just one chapter a day, 6 days a week, will take you through the biographies of Jesus by Easter. The biographies are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels of the Scriptures. Feel free to pick up an 89 Days with Jesus brochure in the lobby or download one from the website. This week's readings include Jesus calling his disciples dull, the feeding of the 4,000, the transfiguration, the eye of the needle phrase, the withered fig tree, the widow's offering, and a whole lot more. Jesus did and said amazing things. I was challenged to reduce them to one from each chapter this week, but I did. And you can enjoy what you read, whether this plan or some plan. Have a plan in mind that you can utilize in your daily reading time. Dive into Mark with us and get reacquainted with the Lord as we spend 89 days with Jesus, or use some plan. Now let's move on to our sermon for today. We all go through setbacks, but we can have a comeback. For the next several weeks, we will meet people who became comeback characters because of an encounter with Christ in Top 10 Comeback Characters from the Life of Christ. Let's begin our study today with a summary of some stories. A couple works hard, plans well, saves wisely, uses resources to perform hospitality, to fund ministry and missions, yet their retirement is wiped out by corporate corruption. Another story, a lady meets her future husband while they're both in full-time Christian ministry. When she is expecting their fifth child, she is diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. She passes away when the baby is 4 months old. Yet another story, a couple raises their kids in church. Every time the doors are open, along the way, she has cancer. Their house burns down, and one of those children becomes a wanderer who dies a violent death. Yet another story, a family serves the Lord and raises the kids in church, yet the dad dies in his early 40s, and the mom dies in her early 50s. And yet another story, you're in full-time ministry, you send your only son on a mission trip. Their van is hit in a head-on collision, and everyone in the van dies, including your only son. These aren't people from movies or TV scripts. These are real-life stories, and they're not from long ago or far away either. They are from here and now. They are some of the people I know personally who went through unfair and uncertain times. If we had time, we could go around the room and find that everyone has been touched by a similar story. Maybe everyone has been the main character in such a story. What do we do in times like that? Well, today's comeback character models the answer that Jesus is Still the One was a song written by Joanna and John Hall. It was recorded by the group Orleans way back in 1976, and it made it to number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100 list. The last line says, "We're still having fun because you're still the one." More recently, Shania Twain released the song, "You're Still the One." It peaked at number 2 on Billboard's Hot 100 list for 9 weeks. And even more recently than that, the band One Direction released a different song using the same title. Well, today's comeback character is far more than a pop song about a romance. It's about whether we can go through tough times in life and hold on to our faith and say to Jesus, "You're still the one." Now, we plan to give a comeback quiz every week. You can test yourself before you come to church if you like. You could also use it to quiz family and friends. Maybe it will arouse enough curiosity to encourage the unchurched or the underchurched to come to church so they can discover the wonderful benefits of faith in Jesus and they can become a comeback character as well. Here's the comeback quiz for today. I was the miracle child of elderly parents. Mary was my aunt. Jesus was my cousin. I lived a very simple lifestyle. I preached repentance and revival. I announced the coming kingdom. I baptized many, including Jesus. I identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. I was imprisoned for being politically incorrect. I was beheaded for my public stand on morals, and Jesus called me the greatest man ever born. Today's comeback character is John the Baptist. That's right. John had a unique birth, life, and ministry at a unique time in history, but his life teaches us universal and timeless principles. The highlights of John's ministry was when he got to baptize Jesus. John didn't feel worthy to do it, but Jesus gently insisted. And the Bible says that when he came up from the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, and the voice of God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." John heard all that. He saw all that. He was there for all of that. Yet his faith was about to be shaken. He had as much reason as anyone for unshakable faith, but the circumstances of his life caused his faith to be shaken in a big time way. John spoke out against the immoral ways of Herod, the most powerful man in the land. And as a result, John was arrested and imprisoned. He went from the sunshine of responsive crowds on a riverbank at mass crusades to the damp darkness of a dungeon prison. It's there that we pick up the story, Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. You can take out your devices and look on Matthew 11, 1 if you'd like. You can take out your hard copy if that's what you have and that's what you prefer, if that's what you want to do. But either way, I won't feel bad if you take out your devices and use them. I won't think you're playing a game. I will think you are looking at Scripture. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come? Are you still the one? Or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, I'm still reading, this is verse 7 now of Matthew 11. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Wind, if not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and Jesus says, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Now, this message is what preachers would call a topical message, because we utilize verses from all sorts of places in Scripture. But the passage we just heard will be our anchor text. We learn from the life of John that Jesus helps us through uncertain times. Jesus said that to John and says that to us in various ways, including purpose. I made you for this. Luke tells the story of John the Baptist's miraculous conception and birth. He was born to call people to repentance. He was born to prepare the way for the Lord. He was born to announce the coming of the Savior. John was here on purpose, with purpose. Wouldn't it be great to be here on purpose, with purpose? You are. You are. Listen to these Bible promises on purpose about you. Ephesians 1:11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Philippians chapter 2, continue to work out your salvation. God put it into us. We're supposed to work it out of us. With fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. 2 Timothy 2 says, if a man cleanses himself from the ignoble things of life, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, holy, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. The Scriptures teach that you and I are here on purpose, for purpose. You may have been an accident to your parents, maybe a surprise, an inconvenience, a problem, even a burden, but you were none of that to Jesus. God has good work in store for you. You may not play a large role in history, as did John the Baptist. You may not be as famous as Billy Graham or Rick Warren or others, but you will play a huge role in the story of someone's life, as did our friend David. We grew up with David. He was in the same youth group where Dina and I experienced such a significant presence of the Lord and were so impacted by that group. Less than 2 years ago, we laid my mother-in-law, to rest, Dina's mother. David traveled from western Tennessee to east central Alabama to attend the funeral. And he was not the only one who traveled from a distance to be there. The best man at our wedding traveled from Dallas to be there. He flew in for that occasion. And by the way, we saw him and his wife when we were in Dallas for the national gathering 2 weeks ago. David came to the funeral to honor Dina's mom, because Dina's parents was a gathering spot for our youth group. And he also came because he knew that several people from days gone by, near and far, would be there. After the funeral dinner, David and several of the friends from that era came to my in-law's home to talk. And I shared how David had such an impact on me. He would make sure I got to the youth group meetings, even though my home wasn't on the way for him. The best man at our wedding, who had flown in from Texas, shared that David did the same thing for him. And my wife talks about how David's testimony of doubts during our youth group days was so formative in her faith and in her walk with the Lord. Now, David is not likely to be a Christian celebrity or a conference speaker or a famous author, but he had a major impact on all of our lives. You and I can have a major impact on the people around us as well, like Dina's parents did for David, like David did for us. Someday, people will be sitting around talking about the people who had an impact on their lives. I hope that your name comes up. Jesus wants to communicate purpose. I made you for this. Jesus communicates something else to John the Baptist, and that is reassurance. I know what I'm doing. John's prison was a dark place, literally and figuratively. He was going through depressing, disillusioning days. Have you ever gone through dark days? If you haven't, you will. Wouldn't it be great to have reassurance during those dark days that God knows what He's doing? Wouldn't it be great to have that reassurance? You do. Listen to these words of reassurance. Romans 8:28, a very familiar passage. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God loves you, and because you love God, He will work out His plan to make all things work out for you. Philippians chapter 1, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel, and whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. We should not ask first whether something makes us comfortable. We should ask, how can these tough times be used for gospel good? When do we endure trials, we should not ask first, is this fair? We should ask, is my response worthy of one who stands for the gospel? What happens to you is significant. The way you respond to what happens to you is even more significant. The writer of Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Job had amazing faith. His name is spelled J-O-B. It looks like Job, but it's really Job. It's pronounced with the long O. God didn't slay Job, but He allowed bad things to happen to him. God didn't slay John the Baptist either, but He allowed bad things to happen to him. There are times when we don't like the ways of the Lord, but maybe the Lord has a greater good in mind than we do. For instance, when our youngest child, a son, was a young child, he cut open his chin. We took him to the ER to have it cleaned up and stitched up. He didn't know what the medical personnel were doing. He didn't take their actions lying still. We had to wrap him in what they call a papoose blanket. And we still had to hold him down. Tears were running down his cheeks, and he was saying things like, I want to go home now. That's a heart-rending thing to hear as a parent. I want to go home now. He didn't like it when we pinned him down to receive his shot and to cleanse the wound and to receive the stitches that he had to have. But it was for his good. Are you offended by the way God does His work or by what He allows? Well, Jesus knew that might happen. He said in Matthew 11:16, blessed is he who is not offended in me. In other words, in the words of one preacher, blessed is the one who is not offended by the way I do my business. Everyone has rough roads and dark days and sad seasons. The question is not, will those times come? The question is, how will you respond when those times come? Rest assured of God's providential purpose and God's lasting love. Jesus reassuringly whispers to you and me, I know what I'm doing. There's one more message for John and for us, and that is praise. Jesus says, in essence, I am proud of you. The power brokers hated John the Baptist, but Jesus honored John the Baptist. He spoke words of pleasure and praise. Wouldn't it be great to hear words of pleasure and praise from Jesus about you? You can. Jesus predicts what he will say to some of his servants in Matthew chapter 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. In that day and age and time, it was unusual for a master to share anything good with a servant. But here the master was going to share his happiness with his servant. Your ultimate master in heaven, Jesus, will compliment you and will share his happiness with you. Paul makes a promise to his faithful workers. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be rewarded according to their labor. Have you ever labored for the Lord with no apparent appreciation? In fact, it might have been opposite from appreciation. You might have been criticized for what you thought was good and faithful service to the Lord. Well, hang in there, friends. There will be payday someday. Paul even predicts there will be a sort of award ceremony. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, the Lord will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive praise from God. Praise from God? We can receive commendation, rewards, and praise from others, but this passage specifies that we'll receive praise from God, not just anybody, but from the Lord himself. And these aren't just for elite believers either. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. No big surprise, the Apostle Paul, an elite believer. And not only to me, but all to all who have longed for his appearing. These awards are for all who long for his appearing. John went from calling through crisis to confidence. How will you respond? Be a comeback story. Wouldn't it be great to be here on purpose, with purpose? You are. Hear him declare purpose when Jesus says, I made you for this. Wouldn't it be great to have reassuring words in tough times? You do. Hear him declare reassurance when he says, I know what I'm doing. Wouldn't it be great to receive praise from Jesus one day? You can. Hear him declare praise, in other words, when he says, I am proud of you. Let Jesus help you through uncertain times so that you can say to Jesus, yes, you're still the one. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the comeback character known as John the Baptist. Thank you for what we can receive from Jesus through the story of John. Thank you that we can say to him, you're still the one. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing once more before we go today.